Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show, the Creative Mind series. And last week, I was very fortunate to have a discussion with Dr. D regarding in intentional investment integrity. And we were on such a roll, and she was about to start giving us examples, but we wanted to just keep the discussion going. So Dr. D, thank you for coming back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Denise. It's always a joy talking to you.
Yeah, so I actually like to just be in the moment of now, and I just recorded another show today. There's going to be quite a few shows released this week, and I just want to do a mindful pause for the state of affairs in the world. I know that some of us are fighting, you know, wars in our own home, our own neighborhood with poverty, hunger, but we all know that I feel like so much love and prayers are going out to Ukraine right now and for the thought of independence and democracy.
For sure, we should absolutely acknowledge the pain and suffering there. It's just heart-wrenching.
Well, and there's a ripple effect because what we're seeing is, you know, we wanted to talk about integrity, leading with heart. We talked about the three C's. We talked about code of ethics, context, and courage. We had a lot of topics that came up, but I was just thinking, how does that, you know, there's a ripple effect when there's a war in Ukraine. We're not only sending them well wishes of safety, the war to be over, but it's having a ripple effect on economies and leaders all around the world. So I'm sure you have a lot to say on that, but I just wanted to make sure we acknowledge what's going on right at this moment as we record this show.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you want to do a moment of silence or...
I just took a sip of my coffee and I'm putting my hand on my heart and I have candles lit and I'm just really sending compassion and courage to the people of Ukraine. I really respect President Zelensky and his wife, and I have a friend from medical school I spoke to. I've mentioned her on a couple of these shows. We're just sending love and compassion. And then, you know, we still have to do our daily life. We're still all in this universe trying to provide food, shelter, and clothing and have a sense of purpose. So Dr. D is passionate about corporate social responsibility, the economy, and she actually just did a lovely walk where she had some clarity. So we did our moment of pause, but I'd love for you just to jump in on, you know, continuation of integrity, leading with integrity, but also maybe how you're feeling right now about the pulse of consciousness and business and humanity.
You know, it's so interesting because I see us often taking one step forward and two steps back. And this Ukraine example is a really powerful enigma in a way, because I feel like we're doing that simultaneously. Obviously, what's happening with the invasion is, you know, more than two steps backwards, but you think, oh my gosh, are we back in the dark ages? Like, what is going on here where someone can invade another country that is peaceful and prosperous and independent? And at the same time, we're seeing the world rally around Ukraine. And I find so much hope and inspiration in that. You know, the Swiss, who are usually very neutral, as we know, are stepping up to put sanctions on Russian investment or Russian banking, you know, in Switzerland. Like, that is something you don't see every day. They're known to be very neutral. And just how many other countries and people and associations and organizations are standing up to Putin? Like, Putin's actually not getting the powerful leader brand recognition that maybe he would have gotten, you know, hundreds of years ago as being like the invading leader, so to speak. So I find it a really interesting.
I love that you just said that, the word leader and then his name. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's Christ and Antichrist, and he's like the opposite of leading with integrity.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast with GM CEO, and he said that they are instructing and leaning into, and also, I don't want to use the word enforcing, but like really driving into all of their leaders to practice three behaviors: humility, transparency, and focus. And largely, he spent the time talking about humility. And humility is the number one, alongside honesty, attribute that makes a leader exceptional, right? So Putin stands into that older model of bravado and ego.
I love that you said that. Before you even said the word ego, I wrote on my piece of paper here, in and in ego. Mm. So the in integrity versus in ego. So this idea of like a fear-based way of leadership and power-based, like the T-Rex, like Tyrannosaurus Rex syndrome, here I come. So I literally just love having words. And so you were just talking about ego. And I think, you know, we have 7.8 billion people on the planet. I'm still shocked that we have to deal with this, but this is a good wake up call. It's another mirror back to us. Just, you know, I feel like we're getting lots of mirrors for humanity and what we need to do better.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it is glaring that he, you know, by the way, the T-Rex has probably, if you measured their consciousness, you know, negative consciousness. So I love that analogy.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I'm an adult child psychiatrist, so I have to swim in lots of different ponds throughout the day. I might be talking to a kid one minute. I'm a mom. I'm a doctor. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have Smarty Pants Dr. D coming back on, you know? And like, so I love that we can also have some levity, because it's actually when we discuss the T-Rex or in integrity, in versus in ego versus that kind of hear me roar. And the fact that like we people are standing up, I think what you said, I think this is really important when we're talking about kind of a continuation on integrity, is that the world and the collective consciousness is saying, this is not okay. Mm-hmm. This is not okay. And there's other ways of inserting power and force that don't have to, at this point yet, you know, the fiscal stuff is going to make it so people, it's going to be hard to live in certain countries, you know? So I don't know, do you want to just take us on a journey of corporate social responsibility? I know we were talking about the world events, but I couldn't imagine not talking about it. I'm having a hard time this week. I'm doing different shows, but you know, we're here in the United States, but I feel so much compassion for the Ukraine and just what we can do, whether we're donating money, whether we're praying, whether we're reaching out to people. I just feel like it's important to talk about it and then say, well, what can we each do individually? And what can corporations do? And look what the banks have done. So there is a feeling of not feeling that learned helplessness.
Yes. You know, it's in all of my work in corporate social responsibility, there is a huge factor and necessary focus, and that is leadership. And that's what we're talking about here, is leadership. The model of some of these traditional leaders that are ego-driven is a lower consciousness type structure that happens. And, you know, where they're bullies, basically, and they use force. Power, on the other hand, and David Hawkins, who does Power versus Force, has great content on this if anyone wants to dive deeper in it. Power, on the other hand, is about rising up to that shared fate. And that was another thing that came up in my findings, is that the reason why an organization would do corporate social responsibility is because they practice shared fate, the concept of shared fate. There's an author called Visser, and he talks about it, us being on like a spaceship, right? Earth is like a spaceship.
Oh, I love that. I always call it the Earth ride.
Yes.
I say we're on the Earth ride together. So I love this.
And we are. And it's finite, right? The spaceship has finite resources, and so does Earth. So we have to look at everything that we do on this spaceship as having a shared fate. What one does affects all and has a ripple effect. So that was a big finding in my dissertation, in studying the organizations that do CSR the right way. They really do embrace this concept of shared fate.
Well, and I love that because I know that we all think about Darwin and survival of the fittest, but when I was in India, I spoke that, you know, Darwin really wanted to also, in his second book, The Descent of Man, his big, big meaning, it was the concept of cooperation, that in order for, you know, yes, there's the survival of the fittest, so we need to have self-care, but we have to have altruism and cooperation in order for society to thrive. So when we have multiple masters and scientists and visionaries and spiritual leaders and politicians that are in the more of the when individuals thrive, we all thrive. It's very simple. But I love the data behind it that you have. You have taken the business understanding and you have gone in deep dives. And we put links to your articles in the last show, and I'll put them again because I want people to really know that you went, you not only have worked in corporate America, we'll have your bio, but you've lived this and you've seen it and you've seen people, you've gone to these board meetings throughout the years that you've been in business. And there's times when people just say something, but their actions do not match up. Yeah. So let's talk about that. When you're leading with integrity and we've got humility, transparency, and focus, we just talked about in integrity versus in ego. And then how do you actually put this in motion? How are the companies that are thriving in the Department of Shared Fate, what are they doing? What are they doing different? And how are they accountable?
Yeah, so I'm going to take what you said, altruism and cooperation, and magnify it into the space of collaboration.
Perfect.
The individuals and the organizations, because all these concepts that we're talking about organizationally can also apply to us as individuals. I just want to put that out there.
Absolutely.
That we can't do anything on our own that's going to be the best that we have to offer. Now, we could do exceptional things on our own, but when we collaborate with others, that exceptional gets raised up even higher. And so with corporate social responsibility, there's a concept called human-centered design. It actually comes out of systems thinking. And systems thinking is about seeing patterns and interdependency in what we do and looking at the entire architecture of a problem or an opportunity or a situation, not just that one piece of it. So, and in order to do that, you need to be collaborative. You need to be working with the multiple stakeholders that are involved in the situation. So there's been numerous examples in the past of companies who have maybe gone into a new territory and they're just working on their little operations, or in some cases, big operations. It's been to the detriment of the local community. There's been some devastating situations like that. You know, Coca-Cola comes to mind. I hate to point out companies like that.
Well, to be honest with you,
well, it does do a lot of good.
I just want to say something that for anyone listening, that there's going to be isolated examples that we're going to need to give as data points.
Yeah.
And that one thing that Dr. D and I are very passionate about is there's context around it. At any one given moment of time, we can take a snapshot of a corporation when they're in their thrive moment or in their crisis, or they're, and the same thing with an individual. So if we are going to mention any companies, it doesn't mean that there's not great success. So I think that's one of the frustrations about the linear language right now.
Yeah.
Because we're not wanting to throw any corporation under the bus, because there's some days where I might be off or you might be off. You know, I know when there was a day during the pandemic when I found really tough news and I don't think I was the best listener that day. Normally I am. I even move patients. So I guess I want to have some grace that there's also imperfection. But so Dr. D, keep going with examples, and maybe we need to do reminders of that.
Well, I'm so glad that you said that, because it is true. I mean, we said this in our last episode, Dr. Denise, that you know, people aren't perfect, therefore organizations aren't perfect. If we mention a company that is exceptional, a listener might be sitting there thinking, well, I work for that company. I don't find them very exceptional. And similarly, if we mention a company for bad behavior, that is because it's a moment in time and it serves as an example. And many of these companies, you know, part of doing CSR the right way is how you recover after the mistake. So, I mean, Coca-Cola has a whole campaign now around water and I think it's called Net Green, where they're striving to put in as much water as they take out for their operations of the entire system. But back in the day, they went into several locations, but India was the most notable. And they were drawing from the subterranean system, water systems. And so other community members were being harmed by that, like their agriculture and everything. So it was huge. And Coca-Cola learned a big lesson and pivoted from that lesson. So kudos to them. Had they gone in, though, and collaborated with the local communities, that would have maybe changed the nature of their operations. We see so many examples of people or organizations not doing, and I'm going to boil this down to a very simple thing, not doing their homework, so to speak, before they engage. And that's where the intention comes in. Human-centered design is a next-level intentionality. So let me give you another example.
Well, can I just pause? Because I love language. I was thinking that since you and I are planning on doing many shows together because of our respect and resonance, that we could say we have, as human beings, individuals, and corporations, we have moments of excellence, and we have moments of mediocrity, and then we have moments of whoops. That paralyzes. I'm actually going to write that down because that parallels crisis, stabilization, and thrive that we all go through moment to moment. So moments of excellence, moments of mediocrity, and then moments of whoops, I made a mistake.
100%. And the problem with organizations, you know, international companies, their whoops are going to be noticeable, right?
So. Big whoops. They're huge whoops because they literally affect all the economy. You know, it's like, OMG, like, you know, especially when people start tweeting or using their social media to make one statement, then all of a sudden people, like whole industries start tanking with like one or two liners, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But the ones that, you know, own the whoopses and figure out how to recover, and the figuring out how to recover involves the stakeholders and the community, and that's that requires collaboration as well. The ones that recover are really truly living into this idea of shared fate, or the what I call circular wisdom, which is, you know, they're playing the long game, or Simon Sinek calls it the infinite game, where they're really looking at like what's going to elevate all of us.
Yes.
That's the recovery. So, you know, ideally an organization or an individual would be thinking that way from the get-go. But the most important thing is after the whoops, are they thinking that way? So, you know, I'll give you an example. The Gates Foundation in around 2010 launched this famous toilet bowl challenge. They gave out, like, I think $400,000 to about 8 different universities to design a toilet that destroys human waste or converts it to, you know, some kind of like biochar or fertilizer or even clean water for that matter. And it has to operate off the grid. a couple of universities won. They designed self-contained solar powered toilet. And it had to also operate for less than 5 cents.
Wow.
It had to be ideal for poor countries. Then after the competition, the Gates Foundation gave like hundreds of millions of dollars more towards the development and all of that. So on the surface, that sounds like really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the contestants were located thousands of miles from the poor communities that this was intended for, first and foremost. And nobody used, now this is where human-centered design comes in. Actually, there's a great book by Sasha Costanza-Shock called Design Justice. And she goes through a lot of scenarios around like, what would it have looked like to design this with a justice lens? Because what should have happened was that they got proximate, and that's another key concept. Brian Stevenson talks about proximity. We can't know what people's lives are like from a distance. You know, think about a cut that you get on your finger, you know, and then think about someone else getting a cut in their finger. You can relate to their cut because you've had a cut. If you've never had a cut, if you've never gotten injured, and someone else talks about getting injured, it is a foreign concept to you. So it's very important, especially in large scale, complex problem solving, you know, societal issues, it's very important to get proximate. Had they gotten proximate, they would have realized that there are a lot of like behavioral sort of influences that go into using a toilet. First mm-hmm. of all, in poor communities, some women are very afraid to use a public restroom for fear of getting raped. And then there's also the operation side. How does the toilet get maintained? Who is maintaining that toilet? Do they have the means to maintain it? Meanwhile, there are like a couple organizations that were already existing out there that had developed low-tech, affordable toilets, like waterless toilets that composted the human waste. One was called Toilets for the People, and the other one was called Pee Poople out of Switzerland. And so the toilet bowl challenge failed to consider what was already out in the market that was working in poor communities that don't have the architecture, that don't have the systems or the infrastructure to maybe handle a more sophisticated device, even if it's freestanding. So there is a need in there for intentionality, right?
I'm listening to this on such many, many levels. So I love that this, thank you for this specific example, because I look at it as multiple layers of cultural awareness, geographic. There's mm-hmm. so much. There's the financial end. There's the understanding human behavior. And so that's why things are so complex, and actually having like the ability to lead with integrity, because sometimes you start out with this win-win situation, but you don't even realize your blind spots. There's a lot of blind spots to being a great leader. And I like the fact that we came up with the moments of excellence, moments of mediocrity, and moments of whoops, because sometimes mm-hmm. There's whoops where you are being maybe purposely whoopsing, which is more of the in ego. And then there's the non-purposely where you think you're in integrity, but you have no idea what you're missing. You just don't know. I was thinking of, I've had a situation recently where just thinking about, I've never been homeless. And thinking about, and also when I've worked in prisons, you know, different situations when I worked as a psychiatrist in prisons, I would try to think, gosh, I've never been in a gang. And then I think when people come out of poverty and they rise to that occasion, I still have never had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people, what they'll do for food, shelter, and clothing or maybe the way they'll ask for things, or this is just like another situation where if you've never experienced, you have no idea. You have no idea what it's like to be a woman. If you're not a woman, or if you're not a man who's ever had physical threat or harm or been raped, you have no idea what it's like to have trauma. So I think that what I want to compliment right. you on is the texture of corporate social responsibility in the human and the soul element.
Yes.
And that multidimensionality. And, you know, of course, I have to geek out with the word neurostyle, because I was even thinking as you were talking about this, the different neurostyles of leaders, but also, which means we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. If we just aren't aware, we're just not aware. And always goes back to awareness, self-love, and altruism. So sometimes there's just absolute ignorance, mm-hmm. and you don't even know you're being ignorant. You know, so how do we have discussions about that within an organization to keep that accountability? So can we go back and like apply that to this example? Because I want you to finish like with this Gates example with the toilet bowl challenge.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, you know, I think that that example, while there was some good that came out of it, what was missing, and again, I'm gonna lean into Costanza Schock's work here, was, you know, the awareness around what story was told in setting up the challenge. How was the problem framed? Was it framed through a socioeconomically advantaged lens as opposed to a socioeconomically disadvantaged lens? And what values were baked into the project and the process? You know, without asking ourselves those questions, we very well miss the opportunity to have the solution be even more impactful. So I worked with someone, who does a Race for Good, mm-hmm. type program. And I went to Nepal with her. And what she does is she sets up a problem from a local village somewhere, and she pulls in universities, and those universities are on the phone with the local people, listening to them, asking them for their thoughts and ideas before they come up with their own solution. And then they compete with their solution. And not only are the judges from somewhere, let's say in the US, but also the local people are on the phone listening to the solution options and deciding which one is best for their community. And then the winning team goes and actually works with them locally to help them launch the winning project that could also morph in the moment when they're there, which is another concept from CSR, which is about agility.
So I just want to, this is probably like a good place to wrap up, because I'm listening to the concept of circular wisdom. Mm-hmm. And it's about when individuals thrive, we all thrive, and then also asking the right questions.
Yes.
And setting up the right solutions.
Yes.
And I'm actually thinking that, you know, Amy is someone that I introduced you to from Camille Rue.
Yes.
And she could not have been a better introduction. And maybe you and I at some point will have her on the show, because she did something where she helped with water irrigation.
Yeah.
In a local village. And I don't want to get to do such a deep dive on that, but this is someone who is doing consciousness products in the universe. And I'll just put a link to who she is, because she was given an award for thinking like this. So I'll just put that in the link.
Yeah.
She did something that was looking at a local problem, asking the people and how to solve it. Mm-hmm. And I know that Lama Tenzin Chagall, who you and I both hold yes. a dear place, he's doing this. He's the Buddhist monk, and Aliki One, the jewelry line out of your Aliki designs, that Aliki One is in honor of representing his mission, not only of helping girls who would no longer, you know, not have the ability to have the finances for education, but girls and boys to not only thrive academically in India, but the other goal is this new PeakPad project. We'll just put a link to, you know, Aliki One.
Yes.
But when you
imagine if he could partner with Johnson & Johnson, for example, right? imagine how much more effective both would be in solving the problem of menstruation in India, right? Like for women to not feel shame, but to feel empowered and not feel ostracized each month.
Yes. Yes. So I think with this leadership, I think it's so unbelievable that we started out the show today with Leading with Integrity World Events. And I like what we did. We pinpoint in more geographically. So I think one of the big things with corporate social responsibility, and I'm going to just repeat some of the core elements of back to the humility.
And can I share a story before we part ways too?
Absolutely. So I just want to make sure I summarize, because I think it's really important that we talked about integrity and leadership with the concepts of humility, transparency, and focus. I love fast and fun words of in integrity, and then in ego. And then looking at, I would love for you to send links to the different people you mentioned. I wrote it down, and go ahead and share your story before we wrap up.
Yeah. I mean, some of this intentionality can be demonstrated in this story. So like elevating intentionality. A village sits on the side of a river, and one day they see a baby floating down the river, and they say, oh my gosh, we need to save the baby. They go in the river, they save the baby. They don't know where the baby came from. We're going to raise the baby as our own. Great. 5 days later, two babies are in the water. They're like, oh my gosh, we got to save the baby. We'll pull the babies out of the water. We'll raise them as our own. And you know, the next day, there's five babies in the water. So they keep saving these babies out of the water, and they have a lot of good intention, right? There's good intention there. Of course, they're going to save the babies and they're going to raise the babies as their own. Elevating intention is about then deciding, okay, why are the babies in the river? What's happening upstream that is leading these babies to end up in the water daily? And and so they decide, we have to get proximate to the source of the issue, the root cause of this issue. What is creating this injustice, right? So they send a scout team up the river to figure it out. And that is where we can all, like, that's an example of where we can all lean into elevating our intentionality.
Absolutely. And also being aware of your own perception, that we have our own biases and perceptions. And we're going to do deeper dives on that, like perception mismatches too. So I think in summary, the idea is that we have to ask the right questions. We have to be open. We have to ask the whys. And I think we have to have that humility of always being able to do it better, so that if there are the moments of whoops where you're trying to be in integrity, how do you go from that? I always talk in mental health, like crisis, stabilization, and thrive, but that applies to mathematics, that applies to business. So moments from moments of whoops to moments of, I don't know if mediocrity, maybe stabilization, but I think mediocrity is good because it gets people's attention.
Yeah.
People usually don't want to be mediocre.
Because people don't like to be called mediocre. But you know, in fact, we have a lot of mediocre moments. And some of them are because we're not being aware, right? And some of them are because we're choosing to be mediocre. That's not the kind of intentionality we're talking about. When we talk about intentional investment, we are talking about rising to excellence.
Absolutely. And I want to also just say that it also includes, this is from a mental wellness standpoint, some of the brightest and most incredible entrepreneurs on the planet know that you need to have the mindful pause through recreation, through swimming, through fitness, through walking, through moving meditations. Because that's when your greatest moments of the aha moments drop into your awareness. So I want to thank you today for letting me know that you needed 10 more minutes on your walk, because I do that with my swims. I'm addicted to my swims. So I think, you know, we talk about how do CEOs go from this like level of kind of just stabilization to their own thrive. It also starts with your own mental, spiritual, and physical well-being. And I think that needs to be absolutely, we need to always keep discussing that, because that's where you get the best answers.
Oh my gosh, that is so true. I mean, that is, yes, that it, to focus on your well-being will only bring the best of yourself forward.
Great. Well, thank you, Dr. Denise. And we'll put the links on how to reach you and also some of the links of some of the amazing Smarty Pants people you mentioned.
so grateful for this conversation. Thank you, Dr. Denise.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.